Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's 1987 on a farm in Vegreville, Alberta, east of Edmonton. Roman is a happily married farmer with a young son, but their world is torn apart when his wife is killed in a terrible accident, which he blames on himself, leaving Roman and Mikola unprotected and alone. The son turns inward, not eating or speaking, while Roman lashes out. He has a total meltdown, revealing deeply hidden memories of his childhood in war-torn Ukraine. He directs his rage and frustration at everyone he once relied on, his sister, his neighbors, and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Can he handle what God hath wrought on his own? Or does he need to embrace They Who Surround Us? They Who Surround Us is the name of a moving drama about one man's struggle with death, mourning, history, family, and religion. It's set within the Ukrainian-Canadian community of East Central Alberta, where the prairies meet the bush, a land replete with grain elevators, onion dome churches, and a railway line cutting right through it. This film is produced, directed, and written by well-known Canadian actor Troy Ruptash, who also plays the lead role. They Who Surround Us opens theatrically in Toronto and across Western Canada on August 27th, and I'm very pleased to have Troy here with me from Vegreville via Zoom to tell us more about They Who Surround Us. Hi, Troy.
Hi, Daniel. So happy to be here. And wow, I love that. That was fantastic.
Thanks a lot. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
My pleasure.
So you directed, wrote, produced, and starred in They Who Surround Us. So this is clearly a labor of love. Why did you decide to make this film?
I think I began to understand that I had been carrying around grief, some unprocessed grief. And I became fascinated with the idea of conveying grief in a way to an audience through a story that, you know, has universal appeal that would enable people to sort of have the experience that I had by connecting with my ancestors of grieving not only my grief, but sort of the historical grief that lives, I think, within all of us and communities and cultures. So that's sort of what got it going for me.
You're right now, you told me before we started that you're actually in Vegreville, which is east of Edmonton. And you're in your family home, or the one you grew up in, I guess. It's also a quintessentially Ukrainian Canadian town. What can you describe this place? What's it like now? And what role does it play in your concept of this film?
It's pretty much everything in the concept of the film in terms of, you know, themes of returning home and understanding more fully where I come from. So I went through that process as a person and as a writer and creator. And then I wanted to tell that story. You know, Vegreville, I love it here. And it's a small town, but the community is incredible. And the support that I feel here and that I felt in the making of this film, you know, it would never have happened if I had made this film anywhere else. And also the look of the town and just the you know, a lot of the community members are extras in the film. And so it was very special to come back here and make a movie about, you know, connecting to one's community and the support that that brings.
It's also totally recognizable for what it is and where it is. And yet it's not a look you often see in Canadian movies. So what was it like bringing the whole movie apparatus into this small town?
It was incredible. I think it was very exciting. I know I was very excited by it. And then I would get sort of a vicarious thrill by watching the people around me and the community and how excited they were that this was happening in town. And so that was very fulfilling. And you know, I I'm very inspired by Terrence Malick and especially Days of Heaven. And So, you know, which was shot in Alberta. And so the idea of capturing Magic Hour and shooting a film here, especially the fact that I had the opportunity to shoot my first film with this background and this landscape is just incredible.
So speaking with friends and just, you know, being Canadian, we both know that the longstanding Ukrainian-Canadian community has been in Alberta since before it became a province. And most immigrants came before World War I or afterwards between the two wars. But you put your central character as a post-war immigrant. How come?
Yeah. Yes, there were three waves of immigration. And I knew this film started with a picture of all my ancestors, but one in particular of my great uncle, Stefan Boysen. And we had always thought that he had died in a prison camp in Siberia. And through the research of the film, and I actually got to go to Ukraine and work with a genealogist, and I went back to the village where my maternal grandmother was raised, and we found out that not only did Stefan get out of prison, but he ended up being a commander with UPA, the Ukrainian Partisan Army. And also found out that he got married and had a daughter who still lived in the same village. Wow. So I got to meet her. Yeah, that was incredible. So suddenly we had thought the family ended with Stefan, and now we have, you know, living family members still in Ukraine that we didn't know about and we're in touch with. So I knew that I wanted to, a central part of the story is that Roman's uncle was a fighter with UPA, and that happened between, you know, they were between 43 and 45. I mean, much longer than that, but those were the years I wanted to focus on.
Okay. Well, speaking of religion now, both the acceptance and rejection of it, it seems to be at the core of the film. Can you talk about the importance of religion in Roman's life and in the community around him?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting for me because I myself, and I went to church a little as a young boy, but then it hasn't been a big part of my life. But my grandmother and my whole family, especially my ancestors, were very religious. And, you know, when I started writing it, I was surprised how much it became a part of the story. I felt like, you know, this is so fascinating to me where this is coming from. And I just went with it. And I knew, actually, when I started writing it, I made, he was going to be Ukrainian Orthodox, but I changed it to Ukrainian Catholic because the rosary became a strong element in the story.
Right, right.
And then in my research, I found out, oh, Orthodox, it's Catholics who use the rosary. So I changed it. And I know that for me, that what got me through, what gets me through my difficult periods is something that is difficult to articulate sometimes. And I think religion can be that for people sometimes in terms of that support that comes in, that unspoken and unseen support that can get you through difficult times. And I know for my maternal grandmother, it was a big, big part of her life. And I was very close to her. She passed away when I was young, when I was 12. But, you know, I think that had a big impact on me.
You also, in my mind, you subtly introduce biblical themes within the body of the film. I mean, when Roman and his wife, it's almost as if they're walking through a Garden of Eden before disaster strikes them. And there's another scene where his childhood memory of sort of like Moses in the bulrushes, a baby put into a stream and floats away.
Yes.
So talk about these, you know, religious zeitgeist images in your film.
Yeah, well, this film came about the way I wrote it. I work with a group in Los Angeles that does, it's a group that does something called creative dream work. And it's a Jungian-based dream work that's about bringing your unconscious into your creative process. So I started this process with this film, with this group in LA, and did this for about a year, where I would start bringing in all these photographs of my ancestors. And then you do work, you know, work with the unconscious and what those images bring up. And that's what it started bringing up. It would, you know, when I actually wrote the script, I wrote the script in 5 days, which is...
Wow.
I know.
That's like incredibly fast.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the script that we shot.
100 pages in 5 days.
Yeah, it's like, and just all the story came together very naturally. And the first image that came to me was the opening image of the film that you see with the woman running over the hill and the baby in the water. And I didn't even know where this was coming from, but I knew, you know, it makes me think of Harold Pinter. And he has said that I had read that he starts with an image, and all he needs is an image before he writes a play or whatever he's working on. And so not that I'm comparing myself to Harold Pinter, but it was a similar thing where I had a couple of images that came to me and I didn't know exactly where they came from, but they felt very powerful and very universal and archetypal. And I think that's probably because of the Jungian-based work. So I just kind of went with it.
So interesting. Another thing in the film is sort of a cultural memory that's passed down from generation to the next. And yes. In this film, it seemed to be most centered on a Ukrainian lullaby.
Yes.
Where did that song come from for you?
You know, again, I knew that, well, first of all, and I'm really having a memory of it right now as we speak, both my mom and my grandmother used to sing a lullaby to me when I was a little boy. And there was something very comforting about it. And so I knew that a lullaby was going to be part of it. And then I just started researching and asking people in the community, I wanted to find a really well-known Ukrainian lullaby. And when I found this one, as soon as I heard it, I thought, this is it. And this is going to be a core focus of the film.
When you make a period film, it's always much more difficult and more expensive to do. But I guess you have to set it in the 80s for it to fit historically with Romans, you know, being born in Ukraine during the war and stuff. But What did you have to, I noticed all these details like a Massey Ferguson tractors. How hard was it to bring back the 80s into a film shot in the 2020s?
Well, I had an amazing team. I feel so fortunate because first of all, my costume designer, Deidre Hackman, she is just a genius as far as I'm concerned. And she had her attention to detail and the time period and the historical aspect was just spot on. Same thing with my art department, the production design. I feel so fortunate, the people that I got to have the opportunity to work with, because, you know, that's the thing about directing a film and telling a story. And what I love about film is collaboration. And when you find the right people to collaborate with, it's just, they're able to take my vision and elevate it, which was just so, I'm so grateful for, because I feel like the film is what it is because of all the people who worked on it.
And finally, you're in Vegreville right now. Will you be able to be in Edmonton in time for the premiere, or will you be back in LA by then?
No, I'm actually going to stay here and go to the opening night of, the Friday night at the North Edmonton Cineplex. I'm going to go to, I think, one of the early evening shows and do a little intro. So I'll be here for that opening weekend, and then I have to head back to LA.
Well, I'm sure that'll be amazing, and the audience will love it. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for, I feel like you really got my film, and I really appreciate that. It means a lot.
I loved it. Thanks a lot. I've been speaking with actor, writer, director, producer Troy Ruptash, whose film They Who Surround Us is opening in Toronto and in Western Canada on August 27th. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.